Let's begin with prayer before I start the message. Lord, we always come to you in prayer. We always come to you in recognition of who you are and your greatness and the love that you have, the grace that's been bestowed upon us. Father, we pray at this time that the Holy Spirit blesses us with your word, that you enrich us, that you provide for us the information and the sense, the love that we need to have here today, and to allow us not just to continue to know you, not just to stay a status quo, but to move us forward in our walk with you. You brought us out of the depths of sin, and you want so much for us. Father, I just pray that this message here is in accordance with your will and guided by the Holy Spirit. This we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen. Well, we're going to continue on 2 Peter, and this will be part 2. We're going to be looking at verses 5 through 9 in chapter 1 as we go through. I've got it up on the screen, or you can share it, either look it on in Scripture. It says this: "For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in an increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins." I was just thinking about this as I was reading. I'm thinking, when you're a kindergartner going into school, it's kind of neat in a way. You're not really equipped with very much. You might have some crayons, and you might have some a new lunch pail, right? And you probably you've got some new clothing to be able to go to school so you can look ready to go and excited about that. And then it hits you. I've got 13 years of this stuff. 13 years. And I'm not only 5 years old. I mean, it's like, you think of the percentage of, what that is. It's multiplying that. It's like, that's got to be overwhelming, because you realize that as a kid, days are much longer. They don't go by as fast. So 13 years to a little kid is like a lifetime. And I'm like reading some of the scripture over here, and I was like, when does it end? You feel the same thing? Yeah. Well, what I want to do is I want to go through a little bit of these words and just see what they represent, because we're going to be starting out. He says, for this very reason. So we always have to look back and say, for this very reason. What very reason are we talking about? Well, we always read a little bit of Scripture, or if we remember what happened last week when we were talking about Scripture, it was just about that God has promises and a plan for us. He equips us for every good work. And we're ready to go out there. Right? We're ready to go out there, right?
Yes.
Right? There you go, because we are. God has already provided everything we need to have to go out there and preach the gospel, and His word, when it is sent out, will not return void. Thank you. And we're doing His work. Because, and so, when He says, for this very reason, because He's equipped us for everything, this is what's going to happen to us, right? We have to add to our faith. And the very first thing is goodness. So let's look at some of these words that we've got over here. So we've got that big list that's right up over there. Faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. Well, what is goodness in a sense of it? And sometimes we look at these things and they're ranked, in essence, from the beginning. Like a kindergartner person has to learn a certain amount of stuff, material-wise. And there's a certain expectation as a new person going into school that, they're not expected to learn physics, in kindergarten, but they are expected to maybe learn their alphabet, maybe to start writing, some of these letters. Or maybe it's more about getting along with other individuals within the classroom and being able to sit and listen to a book, You know, there's so much, and you know, and even the schedules that you're going to have. You know, how we walk down the hallways and stuff. Certain things that they have to learn as a kindergartner, and then as first grader, second grader, there's things that are multiplied to that. So when we look at the basis of our faith, you know, that's like we said, a virtue. It's our belief in God. You know, it's kind of the basis of being a Christian. That if you have no faith in God, then you are not Christian. So we need to have that to begin with. And this is what the scripture is talking about. And to this faith that we have as our basis, we need to add things to it. First thing he says is goodness. Well, what is goodness? Basically, it's just a praiseworthy character. It says here, moral excellence. Right? It's being a good person in the eyes of God. And so we see a lot of good people out there. There's people that are willing to share. There's people that are willing to do stuff. But they're not all necessarily Christian. So what we're talking about here, we're talking about Christians, that their character counts. I'm going to say that again. Your Christian character counts. And this is what Peter is saying. Remember, this is Peter's second letter. He's much older now, and you know, the church has gone through some changes, you know, from his first letter, and they've probably experienced multiple things, and Peter's just responding back to some of those things. And he wants to leave these elements together here, is that as a Christian, your actions, you're accountable for your actions and stuff like that, and so how we behave. So he talks about on our faith, well, let's look about this goodness that should be there. Then he talks about the knowledge. Well, we're not talking about that knowledge of, you know, understanding how chemistry works. We're not talking about the knowledge of being able to go up into space and stuff like that. What we're talking about is the knowledge of God, right? God's truth. That needs to be increased into our stuff. But it's difficult, really, in all essence, to understand the truth of God if our character is not in alignment with God. You know, they always have the song of the 12 days of Christmas and stuff. It always goes back to that first day, the second day, and then it keeps repeating that whole process over there, because you have to have the first day, the second day. Let's look at the self-control, because everybody likes self-control, right? Because that's the one that everybody, you know, that one there is no problems with at all. And it's like, oh, yeah, right, okay. All right, so it's the control of your actions, really. That's what it is, by the will of God. That your actions and the things that you do are in accordance with what God's plan is. And you're obedient to that. So this is all added on to our the faith, the goodness, and to our knowledge, and it just keeps building up. Now, there are some people that when they come to accept Christ, they are a completely changed person. I've heard stories of that happening, and I've known people. I didn't really know them before they were Christian, but I remember one guy coming to me, and he says, "Mike, can somebody do that? I mean, seriously, he's just going around and like asking forgiveness with his family. He's telling them that he loves them, that he literally quit his job because he no longer wanted to do the things he was doing in his job." And it's like, the people think he needs to go to a psych center. Can that really happen? And I'm like, yeah, it can. You know, people can just change just like that because God has moved them. You know, for me, it wasn't quite that way. I mean, I got this struggling progress, you know, list of things that takes years to be able to accomplish and get through. But God's still working on me, and God still continues to work on you folks as well. But that self-control is like understanding what God wants and being obedient to Him in particular. Right? Perseverance, that's that steadfast effort to follow God's command, regardless of what's going around you. Right? Not just when the times are good. I've already mentioned that somewhat this week, this day already. Is that God is here for you every moment of the day, no matter what you're going through. And we have to realize that there's that steadfastness that we need to have. Now, how about this godliness, right? That's the reverence towards God that we're talking about. That is really with everything that we're doing as an attitude that we're not doing it just to promote God. We're not just doing it to look good around people so that they can come to know God. We're doing it for God. Why? Because we love God. And God becomes the real center of our focus, that everything we do, we're doing it for the love of God. That's godliness. And the actions that we do will amplify that of God. So we can start, who do we start really doing that stuff but with our own brothers and stuff? So we have to love fellow Christians. We've been told to do this over and over and over again. And why? Why are we told over and over again? Because that's what we're supposed to do. And if we are not loving one another as brothers and sisters in Christ, then what is our witness to those that don't know Christ? It's important. And it's really hard. There's times that we're going to have to really forgive. And there's times I struggle with that too. And it's not here within this church. It's some past stuff that I've dealt with and stuff. You know? So we all struggle with that aspect of it. Don't think anybody's exempt from that. But God says that we are to forgive. God says we're supposed to move on with that. Right? And we need to love our fellow Christians. And it's like, you know, they might need more loving it. Or they, you know, I don't know. But God will speak to you. And it's like, how do we love our fellow Christians? Well, let's look at it. Christ has loved us even when we were sinners, right? And died for us. So He loved us first. Maybe that's the type of love that we need to amplify for the people around us. And then we get to this very last part here where it says that your brotherly kindness should end up going to love, which is the essence of God. There's a scripture verse that says God is love. Yeah. Yeah, you guys are really doing good with the fill-in-the-blank stuff. I tell you, it's like, that's awesome to be able to know that. And it's like, God is love, and so that's the type of love that we were supposed to be showing. God's love, wherever we go. Even when we're walking through the woods, someone always said this before to me, and it's like, it probably makes sense, is that someone is always watching. You may think there's nobody out there, but someone is always watching. And when I was 17 or 18, I was in New Zealand. I met this guy. Maybe you guys know this story a little bit. But it's like I met this guy. There was a relative of my host family that I was staying with. And I met him for like just a couple hours. I was just impressed with his stonework, impressed with his house. It had like, you couldn't see the wall. Things were just, there's so many things hanging on to it. And he told me two things that just stuck with me forever. He says, stay away from evil women. Wicked women, I forget, was one of those two. And it's like, you know, that, you know, made a big impact on me, right? And then the other thing is, he says, there's things around you that you don't know. But he never taught Christianity or anything. There's things around you that you don't know. Yeah. And I always took that as, you know, there's angels around me, you know, that, and, you know, they're there, and I, you know, that's at least how I took it and stuff. It was just, but it was kind of profound. You know, this guy I met for two hours or whatever, you know, I don't say changed my life, but he gave me huge direction just by giving me two pieces of information that did it. And I think it was, you know, the essence of love. God was working on me and going through this individual that I had no idea, never met before. I don't even know his name or anything. And it's kind of neat how that works out. Look at this. We've got, you know, 2, 4, 6, 8 items that are on there that Peter brings up. But you know, in Scripture, if you ever look at Scripture a lot, you're going to find that there's multiple places where there's a sequence of events that happen within with what's being preached anyhow. It's Romans 5, 1 through 5, we'll look at that. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, right, there's that basis again, faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into His grace in which we now stand. It says, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. So here's another scripture verse that talks about a sequence of events that have been happening. And they're using some different words in there, like hope, you know, that they've put in there. They've also put suffering that's been in there. But perseverance is the same one that we had. Character, maybe that's what we're talking about in terms of self-control. Let's look at another scripture verse here, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. He says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. You know, we have that. And we know that that's in that area there. So again, there's a list of items that are brought together in the same sentence. And again, it's not just that I'm saved, I'm good to go. But there's certain little tags. You know how in your Bible you might have tags on your Bible that bring out every chapter, and you can find every chapter quickly and stuff like that. Well, in our lives, we have these little tags about love, joy, peace, right? And the whole thing is it's a complete package that we're looking at. It's not like you can go through here and say, well, I just want faithfulness. Because it says the fruit of the Spirit, not the fruits of the Spirit, where you can choose which fruit you want. Now, I like fruit. Now, you guys know, fruit is like one of my staples in life. I need to have that. And it's like, I like all fruit. You know? But if all I liked was just grapes, right? And then I'm really missing out on all the rest that's out there. That's all I ever chose to have. But in this case here, the fruit of the Spirit is a completeness of all of this put together. Let's see if there's more. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 4 through 10, rather as servants of God, we are commended. We commend ourselves in every way, in great endurance, in troubles, in hardships, in distress, in beatings, imprisonments, and riots, in hard work, sleepless nights, and hunger, in purity, understanding, patience, and kindness in the Holy Spirit and in sincere love. I'm still going on with the same sentence here, okay? So are you with me? All right. In truth, speech, and in the power of God, with weapons of righteousness, in the right hand and in the left, through glory and dishonor. I have to take a couple breaths here, but we're still in the same sentence. Bad report and good report, genuine, yet regarded as imposters. Known, yet regarded as unknown. Dying, and yet we live on, beaten, and yet not killed, sorrowful, and yet always rejoicing, poor, yet making many rich, not having anything, or having nothing, and yet possessing everything. Now that is a mouthful. Is your Christian walk like that? Well, it appears that Paul's was. And maybe our walk needs to be like that. Maybe we need to step out a little bit more, right? As God wants us to do. And I think what Paul is speaking to the Corinthians is that being a Christian is hard work. It doesn't come easy. Yes, He has blessed us with a lot of gifts, but to have patience with people where my patience is gone, right? To have forgiveness where they keep doing the same thing again over and over again. Right? It's the same thing. You know, you are beaten down and yet you still love and you grow and you were raised up, you know, not just to have your old life, but raised up to have your new life in Christ. Christ went through a lot of struggles. What makes you think we're going to be exempt of those sort of things? Right? And he still had blessed times. I mean, he had great times with his disciples and the people that were around him, you know, the miracles that were done. I just can't imagine walking with Christ and whenever there was somebody that came up, oh, Lord, Lord, can you save me? Can you cast out this demon? Can you make my uncle walk? Can you do this? And it's like Christ would just do that. It's like, oh, that would be just be enough, you know, just to be able to see that and to never, it just never ended. It just went on and on and on. What a blessing. But then the struggles that he went through as well, and as we as Christians go through. So we know, too, that all Scripture is God-breathed and useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. And this is a part here that we got to look at. So that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. So God's Word is important. It needs to be ingrained into our hearts, into our everyday life, into our every thought. Hence it goes back to all of those things that Peter was talking about You know, it's not, we have to have goodness, you know, we have to have patience, we have to have perseverance, we have to have our love for the Lord. And all this kind of ties together, and putting it together, is that His Word prepares us to be able to do that stuff. We cannot lead a life of Christians without His Word. Right? Colossians 3:12, again, there's a list that goes on. Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Now, I'm not going to do this, because, you know, if we can add up all of those words of all these scriptures that we're putting together, that list is going to be more than 8 words. Right? It's not just an 8-step process to go through this. It's a life-changing process to be able to do this. And I think it's pretty cool. So let's look at some other scripture verses. Romans 2:4. Or do you show contempt for the richness of His kindness, tolerance, or patience, not really realizing that God's kindness leads you towards repentance? Wow, there's a word that we haven't had yet. But it's like there's always a process of growing and maturing in the Word of God, in your relationship with God. And what do you think Peter wants these individuals to do that he's writing to, right, near the end of his time in life? What do you think he wants them to do? I've already given it to you. He wants them to be mature Christians. He wants them to grow in their relationship with God. Because when you do grow, you're not the same as what you were when you first came to Christ. And all of those things have been building up, and you can look back in your life and you say, I'm not the same person. Well, you're not. Because God has led you through a series of events in your life to be able to have you who you are. And look at this one here, in 1 Peter 4:8, which we've gone over before. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. And really, we're looking at that and putting it together. Now, I'm going to show you a little visual that we're going to have here. And we've got all of these words over here. And I put faith on the bottom because we're going to get this little pyramid thing. And these are just the 8 that we're working with. And we tend to look at this like this, where all of a sudden now, faith is the biggest thing that we need to have. And then everything else is like a step up. Right, we're going to get a little higher. We're going to get into this goodness, and I'm not going to stand on this. We're getting even higher yet, and then what, you know, we get into the next step, which would be, you know, the knowledge of God and be able to do that. And we get up a little higher. We get up a little higher. We look at that in essence of, well, it's all based upon, you know, my phenomenal faith that I've got, and the more faith I have, the more goodness I can have, the more knowledge of God I can have, the more faith that I've got is so important in everything. But I think that's the worldly way of looking at things. I don't think that God always works that way. He works upside down sometimes. I think it's more like this. That our faith is just the beginning of what God wants. And then all of these things are stacked on top of that faith. And love being the supreme above and everything. That's over there. And if we look at it from this perspective, you can't walk up that step because it's upside down. But what you do is you carry those things on your faith. That if you don't have the faith, then everything falls apart. If you don't have the goodness, it all falls apart. If you don't have the knowledge of God, it all falls apart. If you don't have the self-control, it all falls apart. Why can't I love someone? Well, maybe there's something underneath that that isn't structured quite right. But I'm going to tell you, that is not exactly the correct picture in my mind. I've got another one. It's like it, but it's going to be a little bit different in the sense it's going to change a little bit here. And I couldn't fit it all in here. If you look at each of those, though they still have the same structure as the last picture, each one gets bigger and wider and more in depth. So that when we get to the love section, it doesn't even fit on the screen. And you know, that's how God is. It's limitless, I guess if you put it that way there. And I like this picture the best because The faith we have comes from God. The goodness we have comes from God. All of this is through that umbrella of love. And it's that which is going to carry us through. It's that which is going to provide the needs that we need to have and stuff. And it's that which we strive for. You know, God is love. And we strive for His love. And it looks like a lot of work. Well, it is a lot of work. Yeah.
That makes me think of splunking. Anybody know what splunking is? Like,
yeah, KB.
Rocks,
yeah.
Underneath.
Yeah, yeah.
And my walk, and I should admit, feels like splunking. You know, it's not easy, but we've got to keep
digging
in.
Yeah. Yeah, when you find that treasure too. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Cave diving or cave, you know, walking and stuff like that. Yeah, splunking. And it's pretty cool. And I think this is really where we stand. But God sometimes humbles us and brings us back to where we need to begin. Sometimes we need to just reflect on our walk to be able to get where we are, because we get tied up sometimes in this world, which, you know, it's typical to do. We also sometimes get tied up in the church, you know, and forget about our relationship with God. We do things just to do them, but we're not really walking with God personally. So here in Revelation 2:4, God was speaking to the church of Ephesus, and He said this about that particular church. He says, "Yet I hold this against you. You have forsaken your first love." And He tells them to repent and go back to that first love. The faith that we have, that we've been given. Do not let that pass. Because everything is based upon that. If you don't have the faith of God and that walk with God, there's no way you're going to be able to do all those other things that are on top of that. So don't ever lose that and know what God has done for you. And the last verse I've got is John 15:5. It's talking about the vine, and you know, God is the vine, we are the branches, and that, you know, things we're to do good works and all this. But it says here, just this small section, it says, "I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, he can do nothing." Our walk has to remain with Christ. We cannot take our own venture, our own thing. Now, you may have a different ministry than somebody, but that's not doing your own thing. That's still being in alignment with God's will. We've all been gifted things. We've been talking about this in Wednesday night Bible study, that we all have gifts, right? And those gifts allow the church to work as a whole. And whether that gift is prophecy, whether that gift is you know, teaching, whether that gift is healing, whether that gift is praying, whatever the gift is. But all of those gifts work together for God's purpose. And when we look at this aspect over here, right, that we are to remain in His vine. If we unlatch ourselves from God and start doing our own thing, we're doing nothing. In fact, we might even be hindering God's will. Yeah. Loretta, you got some more?
Talking to this person and way
the Lord has brought me through. I just want to share it because He's so faithful. And God help me.
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I think some of us are probably there now too with you, Loretta, because it's like it's a struggle to deal with individuals. Yeah, it really is. And it's like, yeah. And that's our witness, how we handle those things, and God saying what we should be doing, you know. And it's that again, that's where our Christian walk is hard, that goes with it. You know, our act of worship, a lot of times we think, well, we come to church and we can sing and we're worshiping with the Lord. That's such a minuscule thing. You want to know what your act of worship is? How you live your life. 24/7. That is your act of worship. That's what God, you know, really requires of Christians. Treat people differently, you know, because they're different people. We always treated our kids exactly the same. We loved them all the same, but we treat them slightly different because they've got their different uniqueness that goes with it. But God wants us to be able to do that. And Peter is talking to the individuals about, as a Christian, we need you to be mature, right? Because when he says this sort of thing here, let me read it, the last verse 8 and 9. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, right? He doesn't expect us to stay just standard. They will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. I'm going to leave that with you today. I think it's enough to digest. Amen? Father, I do thank you for your word here today. Thank you for what Peter has written and how there's scripture that just reinforces everything that's being said here. That our walk is to be an increasing walk with a closeness to you, Lord. And it is that. We tend to see more blessings. We tend to see your mercies and your favor that continues to encompass us. And because of that, we're willing to share that which you've given us with those around us. Really, that's just it. That we don't take a hardened heart's mind, a worldly mind towards things. We take a very spiritual mind towards things. And it blesses you. We thank you, Lord, for your word, and continue to think, just be with us, Lord, and hold us. And Father, if there's someone that is struggling, someone that's having a difficult time, I just pray that you put someone, an individual in there that can spread a word of encouragement. Maybe they've gone through exactly the same thing. Maybe you can reveal to us something, Lord, that we need to know. Father, maybe you can bless us with a miracle. Father, maybe you allow us just to leave it at the cross and just be done with it. Father, I just thank you for your many blessings. And this we pray through your Son, Jesus. Amen.